May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 722. What am I and where am I? Strange myself and paths appear. Scarce can lift a thought on high, or drop one heart feeling tear. Hymn 722.
from the first epistle general of John, reading chapters 1 and 2. The first epistle general of John, chapters 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have handled, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which he had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him, that is, from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. That therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Dear Lord, help us to draw near to thee. Thou art that one whom we need. Thou art the source of all our strength, all our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And now, Lord, this night, we gather once again in thy earthly courts. We seek that thou wouldst draw near and grant us grace and strength. Grace and strength to preach thy truth, even the holy word of God. Faith to trust in thee and to find our rest, our strength and our peace in thyself. Look down upon us as we're gathered this night. Thou knowest each heart, each soul, Lord, is known to thee. O gracious God, come and satisfy the desire of every living heart. And may there be food in the preaching of thy holy word for immortal souls. O Lord, thou art that bread of heaven. And oh, how we need thee. As we journey on through this wilderness world, we need thy presence daily and hourly. Lord, as we come into thy house this night, we need thy presence in pulpit and in pew. And dear Lord, our desire is that thou wouldst work, that thy will might be done in earth as in heaven, that, Lord, thou wouldst feed thy people, strengthen them in their most holy faith, strengthen those things that remain that are ready to perish. Draw near and come and work in each heart. For, Lord, thou knowest the desires. Thou hast heard the prayers that have preceded this service. And, dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst move and work. We thank thee, gracious God, for what thou hast done here. The work of thy Spirit manifested. But Lord, we pray for more of that same blessed evidence that the ministry of thy servants as they labour here from time to time may be blessed. That there was work in each heart, that there may be a movement, a coming to thee, to thy mercy seat. Divine teaching may be given, heavenly commandments may be heard and obeyed, and Lord, thy voice may be known here in the sanctuary of God. Thou hast the people whom thou hast eternally loved in that eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Thou hast promised in thy holy word, I will work, and who shall let it? And Lord, we come in dependence upon thee. thou dost work and move in a mysterious way thy wonders to perform. And gracious God, we pray that thou would sanctify afflictions, sanctify thy dealings. We see, Lord, in the case of thy dear servant Job, how thou didst sanctify his pathway and bless him in it. How thou didst work in the midst of tribulation. Lord, we have proved in life's pathway that those footsteps have been the places where thou hast drawn nearest to us, where we have communed with thee from off thy mercy seat. O gracious God, may we be enabled to look up to thee in heaven, to trust in thee, to say within our hearts, let him do what seemeth him good. For Lord, thy thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are thy ways our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are thy thoughts higher than our thoughts, and thy ways than our ways. Gracious God, we shall never understand thy dealings, only as thou dost lead us into the sweetness of them, as we look back and remember all the way the Lord our God has led us. Then we shall truly understand he was too wise to err, too good to be unkind. Upon thy dear church, thou hast measured out to her the path of tribulation, the crosses, the thorns in the flesh, thy dealings in love and mercy. And gracious God, thou alone canst grant the grace to bow beneath them. We pray, Lord, thou hast looked down here then, and work in the midst. And Lord, we pray, thou wouldst come by thy Spirit and grant a building up. Lord, the building that is thy workmanship, which will stand in that great day. Thou hast said in thy word, ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. And dear Lord, we pray for thy work. Thankful that the government is upon thy shoulder, that thou rulest and reignest in Zion. Come by thy Spirit. Send down, Lord, those arrows of conviction into the soul. Create in the heart that hunger and thirst after thy righteousness. Grant wrestling prayer. Oh, may there be, Lord, drawing near to thyself in sincerity and truth, feeding beneath this vine, the strengthening, Lord, in the inner man. Lord, it is thy work in Zion to bring thy dear church home to be with thee where thou art. And Lord, we pray that thou hast looked down in the pathways of those here. Thou knowest all their needs. And dear Lord, we pray thou wouldst richly supply their every need out of thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Gracious God, what we pray for here, we pray throughout Zion. Look upon thy sent servants, Lord, this day, a dear servant in the midst here this night. Remember him in his pastorate and ministry. Lord, look down upon him and grant him encouragement. Thou art the giver of every good and perfect gift. Dear Lord, when thou dost bring thy dear servants low, yet it is that thou mightest draw near to them and grant them encouragements in the way. And dear Lord, we pray for each of thy servants as they go forth in thy holy name. Especially, Lord, this night would we remember those that thou hast more recently sent out into thy vineyard, in the churches. The gracious God, thou seest, many of thy sent servants have passed the allotted span of life. One by one thou art gathering them home to be with thee where thou art. And dear Lord, we pray thou would send forth other labourers into thy vineyard. Gracious God, we would remember this night the prodigals in Zion. How many have gone out from us. Solemnly we have read in thy word this night, because they were not of us. But Lord, we believe there are prodigals whom thou wilt bring back, and in whose heart thou wilt work. And Lord, we pray for the prodigals in this sanctuary of God and elsewhere, that by thy mighty power thou wouldst move and grant that coming to themselves in that far country, that, dear Lord, there may be a return, that there may be a turning again to their father's house. And Lord, that there may be that joy in the church of God in this earth that there is in the courts of heaven above over one sinner that repenteth. Lord, bless thy holy word of truth. And oh, grant that, Lord, as we live in these days of small things, that thou wouldst pour out thy spirit from on high. Lord, we have spoken this afternoon of that outpouring of thy spirit on the day of Pentecost, and Lord, upon thy dear people at Caesarea, that blessed outpouring of the spirit. And oh, how we need it again, Lord, in this our day and generation. For we are living in dark times. You come to thy solemn feasts, and scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes. There shall come a great falling away. We see, dear Lord, all the signs of the times about us. Knowledge, says thy word, shall increase. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Many shall go to and fro throughout the earth. Never has there been an age in which these scriptures have been so fulfilled. And dear Lord, we pray for the tiny remnant in this land and elsewhere, that as, Lord, we see the heathen darkness about us, we may be brought to look to thee and to being able to stand in this evil day and having done all to stand. Lord, we see the clouds of persecution rising up in this land, even the size of a man's hand. And Lord, we wonder where the scene will end. Acts of Parliament upon the National Statute Book, wholly contrary to thy holy word. And Lord, we see the darkness deepen. We pray for the young and rising generation, Lord, as they grow up about us. Lord, touch their hearts in their youth by thy Spirit. Grant, gracious God, that there may be fruit manifested in their life, walk, conduct, conversation. The Lord, we desire that thou wouldst have mercy upon them, that thou wouldst keep them by thy mighty power, that thou wouldst establish them in the truth and make them of use in Zion in their day and generation. Look upon, Lord, the deacons in office in this church. We would remember them before thee. Grant help, wisdom and grace in the services and the management of the cause of truth here. And oh, grant that prayer, their prayers, the prayers of the church may be heard and answered. Once again, Lord, we pray for those in authority over us, the Queen and the Royal Household, Prime Minister, his Cabinet, our Parliamentary Assembly. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst raise up in high places a God-fearing witness. That thou, Lord, wouldst draw near and favour this land so favoured in past centuries. Turn the vast tides of iniquity and darkness and pour out thy Spirit upon the ministry of thy holy word. Now, Lord, we thank thee for every mercy and blessing, and pray now this night that thou wouldst be our helper and our strength. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy holy word of truth and use it to thine honour and glory. Give grace, Lord, we pray thee, in its proclamation. And oh, grant an ear to hear. Touch our lips with thy call from thy heavenly altar. And fill, Lord, our earthen vessel, as once again we seek anointing and unction and dew of thy Spirit. And pray that thy holy word may have free course and be glorified. We ask these mercies for the pardon of every sin, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. Hymn 927.
needing the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the first epistle, General of John, reading from chapter 1 and verse 7. The first epistle, General of John, reading from chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Apostle John here speaks of the eye of faith. That, he says in the opening verse of this epistle, which we have seen with our eye. It is the same eye of faith that the Lord spoke to his servant Peter concerning. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your ears, for they hear. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And when the Lord's servant, the Apostle Paul, was dealt with by his guardian, love and mercy, on the road to Damascus, the Lord took his natural sight and gave his dear servant spiritual sight. He had such a light that shone in his dear heart. Oh, the darkness that had been in his soul throughout his life. It was a religious darkness. We can have heathen darkness. We can have religious darkness. The apostle, as a Pharisee, was blind to the truth. He had the scriptures in his hands. He had studied them in great detail. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, as he's described himself, but he had no light. He walked in darkness and had no light. Deep darkness. As he read the scriptures of truth, he did not understand them. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, the road to Emmaus, how he opened to those dear disciples in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they saw the prophecies beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. There was teaching from the Lord Jesus himself. There was a light that shone upon the page of scripture. The scriptures were open to their hearts. And that light had a profound effect upon them in their souls. They said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and whilst he opened to us the scriptures? And I say to you here tonight individually, has the Lord opened to you the scriptures? What do you know of this blessed light? What are the things which John speaks of here which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of God. Search your heart. What have you got? That God has given to you. Look back over the way and ask yourself, what have you seen? What has the Lord spoken to you? When under the ministry of his holy word, perhaps from this pulpit, have the Lord's servants been used as an instrument in your heart to speak to you, and you have known what it has been for your heart to burn within you? How solemn, because here in this chapter, John speaks of darkness. And how solemn is that darkness? I might go back to the Apostle Paul. He walked in darkness. And it was the darkness of unregeneracy. The Lord had not begun with him when he walked in that terrible darkness. He was blind. He knew not the Lord. He had never heard his voice. He knew not the power of his holy word. The Lord had never touched his heart, nor brought him to himself. Now he called him. Scripture speaks so blessedly of that call of God, whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate, says Paul in his epistle to the Romans, and whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Called out of nature's darkness. Called by his sovereign grace. An effectual call of God. Every one of his dear children hears it. Whether it be Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, or whether it be the Philippian jailer who needed an earthquake and be brought to face eternity to make him cry out, what must I do to be saved? But in each case, whether it was Lydia or the Philippian jailer, light was given. There was an opening of the eye of faith and of seeing by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a work of God's Spirit. And the Apostle Paul was sent to Philippi. The Lord directed his servants. There was a coming together in the work of the Holy Spirit. In salvation, in the movement of the Lord's servant, the Apostle Paul, and in the timing and his ministry in that place, for he was sent, and it is no surprise that the Lord blessed his labours, because he was walking in obedience. Then the Apostle John goes on to say, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Oh, the wonder of redeeming love, that manifests in the hearts of God's dear children, his dear Son. That reveals him to them. Well could this beloved disciple speak. Oh, how he had known the Lord. And he had felt his love toward him. He had given to him such a blessed sight of Christ. He had known his voice. And all the disciples, he is the one who constantly refers to himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved. Let us not think that he was any different from any of the others. All of them were loved by him. But John, in his gospel, sees fit again and again to speak of the love of Christ, which was manifested to him. What a mercy that is. How precious it is when we are brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know and feel his love, to feel those eternal and everlasting arms underneath, and to walk in the light of his countenance, and to know his presence with us, to hear the words which his dear servant Jeremiah heard, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." My text, you know tonight, as it opens, "If we walk in the light," it is in the presence of Christ, known and felt in our souls. It is to hear his voice. It is to know those arms of love and mercy about us. And to know that sweet peace of God which passeth all understanding. "Search your heart," I said this morning, "examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith or no." We stand, we are here tonight, divided, solemnly divided, between those who know him and those who know him not. It is a most solemn if. But if we walk in the light, if as we journey onward through life, our eyes are constantly up to him, our knees are bowed at the mercy seat, we are continually pleading and begging for his presence, his strength, his atoning love and blood in our souls, his divine guidance in every pathway, to seek his approbation in all things in our life, but, and I feel this, above all, to be fully prepared to stand before his face. Oh, how blessed to walk in the light in a dying hour, to know the light of his countenance upon us. Yes, our hearts are known by him. He sees every thought, and we feel like Solomon did when he penned those words, "I am black, black as the tents of Kedar." And yet, he had a hope that he was walking in that light, black but comely. Where do you stand tonight? We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We know not at what hour he shall call us. These are solemn issues regarding eternity. The writer says eternity, tremendous sound, to guilty souls a dreadful wound, but, oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accents, how divine. And there's nothing more blessed than to be made ready to depart, as the Apostle Paul was. I am now ready, he said, to depart, to be with Christ. He had walked in this world in the light of his countenance. He had suffered for his name's sake. Ever since the road to Damascus, he had walked in the light of the Lord's countenance. And he lists in his second epistle to the Corinthians his pathway and all the footsteps in which he had walked in the light of his countenance, and how terrible they are, his suffering sorrows. And yet as he walked in the light of his countenance, he says, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and cold, beside these things, that which is without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak. But he could go on to say, after all that, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He knew the truth after all that affliction. When the Lord laid a thorn in the flesh upon him. Oh, is this walking in the light? I believe it is. Lord's dear people, go to glory through much tribulation, but they walk in the light. Many are their sorrows, many are the days of darkness when they mourn an absent God, but his light is ever upon them. He has not forgotten them. And we see here with John, if we walk in the light, search your heart tonight. Are you walking in the light? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What a subject this is. The tried, tempted, living family of God, in union one with another, sharing each other's sorrows. This word fellowship is much used, but there is in it a sacred reality. It is the union of kindred hearts in this world, those taught by the same Spirit, those walking in the same footsteps, those taught by the same God and brought to know him, and such, in union with the eternal Son of God, have something that they can commune with each other about. Oh, how blessed is this bond in the bonds of the gospel. It is existing in Zion today. It is hidden from the eyes of the wise and the prudent. But it is only those who have walked in the light of his countenance who have any fellowship one with another. But they understand each other. They feel a love and a union to each other. It transcends all ages. I look back the days of my youth and the Lord began to deal with me. Called me out of the world. And oh, how he brought me into contact with one particular mother in Israel. I shall never forget her. Dear godly woman. There are in the churches those who bear up the souls of the young and pray for them and watch over them. And when the Lord begins in the hearts of the young, there is a union, a blessed union, a bond known and felt. This bond transcends all nations. Oh, how I've proved it. To move amongst the living family of God. There is a love that goes beyond the grave. It is never broken. The church of Christ in this earth is the church militant. The church of Christ in glory is the church triumphant. But the bond that existed in this earth is not broken by death. We have fellowship one with another. It is a tie created here below by those who walk in the light and therefore have fellowship one with another that death will never break. And so there are those whom we have loved in this life who are gone before, and yet we're one with them. This blessed union of the Church of Christ, oh, I say to you here tonight, do you know it? Are there those to whom you have felt a sweet bond in the gospel, have gone before? The memory of the just is blessed, says the scripture. And that is so. One united whole. One undivided family. They have fellowship with one another here below. They have those things they can speak of their knowledge of Christ and what he's done for them and how he's dealt with them, the mysteries of his dealings with them. And areas are flowing together, one to the other. I've spoken here sometimes in the past, in the Sunday school, of Samuel. One of the sweet aspects of Samuel's call by grace in his youth was this, that Eli perceived the Lord was calling the child. Oh, how there was that oneness and fellowship between young and old. In that case of Samuel and Eli, how it must have rejoiced Eli's heart because his own sons were such a sorrow to him. They walked in darkness. The darkness that the Apostle John speaks of here. They walked in darkness here below and they went out solemnly into eternal darkness. So when God's dear servant Eli fell back, it was to go to be with Christ, which is far better. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We come again to this subject tonight which has rested upon my mind as I have come here at this time. This blessed truth of the blood of Christ. It is the central core of the gospel. It is sinners can say, and only they, how precious is the Saviour. It is such as have been convicted and convinced of their sins, and know the burden of their sins, who mourn over their sins. Such mourners are those who understand something of this fountain of his precious blood when applied to their hearts. And I would have you notice, cleanseth all the filth, the vileness, the solemn nature of the guilt of sin. John knew it. He was speaking of those things that he had handled, that he had seen. Scripture speaks of those things we have tasted. Solemn in this life if we never taste this sacred fountain open for sin and all uncleanness. Sinners can say, and only they, how precious is the Saviour. It is a pathway to be walked down. Many in Jesus' day who heard his words, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. We read of Jonah, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me. When sin is made a burden, when there is a solemn coming to the judgment bar of God, and a solemn realization that but for this atoning love and blood, we must be cast out of his presence forever. It may well be the sins are double-dyed sins against light and knowledge. Peter's sins were. Oh, how solemn his sins were. Well could he speak, as we preach this morning, of the precious blood of Christ. It was to him precious because his sins were so great. And when the Lord works to convict and convince of sin, oh, how he intends to bring his dear people not only to the judgment bar of God, but also to his mercy seat, and bring them to do business with him there in deep waters, to feel, as it were, that sword of divine wrath would fall upon them. That word was made very precious to me some years ago. The words of Jeremiah to Ebed-Melech, as the Lord sent him to Ebed-Melech in the great sack of Jerusalem with death all about them. And the Lord sent Jeremiah with a promise to Ebed-Melech. The promise was this: thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life will I give for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. What a blessed, most sacred place in this earth was that to Ebed-Melech. And so it is to every one of God's dear children. That sword of divine wrath and justice hanging over their heads, in the felt knowledge of it, that the Lord could cast them in a moment into a never-ending eternity and be just. And to have, as Ebed-Melech had, they shall not fall by the sword. Oh, are there any here tonight? Is that sword hanging over your head? Do you feel the guilt and filth of sin? Double-dyed guilt. Like Peter's, you've sinned against light and knowledge. Thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life will I give for a prey unto thee. Yes. Satan will attack and attack and attack God's dear people all their days. They are his prey. And yet, they shall not fall by the sword. Life given by the Lord, that mighty work of grace, yet to be tried. The fiery darts of the wicked one, to be known in their heart and soul. Great temptations, yet thou shalt not fall by the sword. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I do say to you tonight, what do you know about it? Any understanding of it? Do you know anything of this precious blood to cleanse you from sin and to take away the filth of sin? It is sovereignly given. The Lord gives it when most we need it. Hymn writer says, when most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. God's dear people have solemn cases to bring to him, solemn things to confess to him. But ever would I have you remember the revelation of his glory to his servant Moses, the Lord. The Lord God, merciful. He waits to be gracious. The Lord God, merciful. Gracious. Long-suffering. Plenteous in goodness and truth. Forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. This precious fountain, opened for sin and all uncleanness. John, this was one of the things he'd tasted and handled. Peter had also tasted it. We read this morning who his own self bore our sins, those deep dark sins in his body on the tree. Or as the margin reads, to the tree. There on the tree of Calvary, he atoned for those sins of Peter. And well could he speak of the precious blood of Christ. And when the Lord moves in the hearts of his dear children and brings them down in confession, in wrestling prayer, and hears their prayers, they stand, as it were, solemnly feeling that if the Lord was strict to mark iniquity, who could stand? They feel beneath that sword the Lord spoke of to Ebed-Melech, as it were, hanging over their head. They know that the Lord was strict to mark iniquity. They could not stand. But, oh, hear their plea. As day the psalmist David, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. The psalmist uttered it in that 51st psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God. And there lies here godly sorrow and repentance. Here is a broken and a contrite heart. And here John speaks of this precious blood. Now, there is one word here in this text. A little word. Us. Here is the Church of Christ speaking with one voice. John, as he wrote this general epistle, and as he spoke of the work of God in the souls of his dear children, they united as one, us. One living family, having the same blessed knowledge of Christ, taught by the same blessed Spirit, brought in the same way to glory, and brought to be in union one with another, united here in this earth, in that eternal bond, they will sing together. This us, the whole church of Christ, in glory, that one glorious anthem unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Will you sing that anthem? I said it many times when I'm preaching. I say it here again tonight. You must learn it in spiritual experience here below. We can never sing that anthem above unless this precious blood has been applied to our hearts here below. We can never sing and shall never sing of the love of Christ in eternity to come unless we've known that love here below. What is religion without it? It is false. Oh, what is it with it? It is everything we can ever need or desire. The soul that knows this precious blood of Christ and can have a sweet hope that they are numbered with this little us that is spoken of here. They know in their souls that peace of God which passeth all understanding, and they have a good hope through grace that one day they will be there with him. I was speaking only today of my closest friend, John Rayner, who died suddenly in 1993, and how I visited him on his deathbed. And never shall I forget that sacred scene. He was in the place that the Apostle Paul had been in. I am now ready to depart. Resting on the blood of Christ. Oh, what a sweet love and union I felt to him, and felt ready to leave him, for I knew it was well with him. Here was his foundation. As the hymn writer says, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is no other refuge in an hour, an article of death, but the cross of Christ. No other hope but in his precious blood. If we have fellowship with him, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. One other word, and that is this: all. Oh, how vital. All manner of sin and iniquity, says the scripture, shall be forgiven men. Oh, how God's dear children long to know that their sins are taken away, pardoned. There only, in that cleansing fountain spoken of here, is peace and pardon. And it is a refuge we can return to and do return to again and again and again in life's pathway. an ever-open fountain for all sin and uncleanness, that we can return to our God. And we can say to him with the psalmist, pardon mine iniquity, O Lord, for it is great. Or sometimes I believe God's dear children feel that such is their iniquity, such is their sin, God can never pardon. But oh, this precious blood, its efficacy, its cleansing nature that John speaks of here is beyond our comprehension. There, says the hymn writer, is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And then he goes on, I didn't quote it this morning, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And then he adds this, and there have I, as vile as he, washed all my sins away. Well, here are you here this evening. Here you are. Where are you? Can you say, and there have I? This was the language of Cooper. Oh, what darkness he walked in. There have I, as vile as he. But let me go one step further and say this to you. Is it your desire to be able to say it? Do you long to be able to say it? Do you say with one Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me? Oh, what a place to come to know that the Lord has loved us with an everlasting love, and to know something of this precious blood of sprinkling. The old figure in the temple, in the holiest of holy, in the ark, there, that ark in its gopher wood and gold, speaking of the deity and humanity of Christ, but over it, the mercy seat of solid gold, the place of the sprinkling of the blood. And what a figure it is of Christ. His dear people come to that mercy seat, and they long to know that precious blood. Oh, I say to you tonight, if you are in that place where you long to know it, know the solemn nature of your sins, live with the guilt and filth of it, and long to know this cleansing fountain, I say to you tonight, press. The Apostle Paul says it, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £570, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Broom will administer the Lord's Supper after this service, and our friends who are members of Gospel Standard Churches are welcome to sit down with us. Mr. Broom will also preach at our anniversary services tomorrow at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for our needy cases fund. And God willing, Mr. Broom will also preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And notice that there will be a church meeting, God willing, on Friday the 13th of May. Let us close with hymn 787. Come, poor sinners, come away in meditation sweet. Let us go to Golgotha and kiss our Saviour's feet. Let us in his wounded side wash till we every whit are clean. That's the fountain opened wide for filthiness and sin. Hymn 787.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.